Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
I don't exactly know if it'll be stress free, but it'll be fun.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 6, Speechless.
We get it. You did a thing. 'Cause speechless.
Wow!
I'm just sitting here watching the back of Dave's head while he smiles at his own stupid joke.
That's Dave. Really interesting, host Tara Ariano. How are you?
I'm very well, host Sarah D. Bunting. And you?
I am very fine, except that this episode is really stupid and annoying.
Yeah, it
is. So let's get into it, unless we have slight business.
Just the usual. Buy shirts on Glarkro.com. Write a review on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. Buy an ad on this podcast. $100 for a commercial message, $50 for a personal message, $20 for a Dave word, which we have one today. That's it, right?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Dave is really committing to this bit. He's actually not saying anything at all. He's just shrugging. It's going to be hard when we get to your Dave word, Dave, if you're not going to say it. But that's yet to come. First, let's begin with our C story. Dylan and Tony, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So Dylan wanders through campus for 500 years before finding Tony and her terrible shoes, which you can see in the visual aids at previously.
Even for the 90s, they're terrible though, right? Like they're really bad.
Yeah, they're
like
bad.
The grandma in 16 Candles bad.
They're cream bad. Sandals, if I'm recalling correctly, right?
Yeah. Very, very strappy with a very blocky heel. No.
Yeah. Mm. But it was the time. We all had them. Even I had them. Anyway, he finds her in the library. They're stiff with each other as he says that she's been giving him the brush off for the past couple of days. And stupid Dylan thinks that a dumb stuffed animal will fix things, but finally just asks her what she's upset about. And she tells him that Bruno narked on him, basically. And Primly adds that if he respects her, he will respect her father and their privacy. And he agrees. And then she likes the teddy bear and is won over. Whatever. Moving on. Dylan has just gotten back home from surfing when Tony calls. She wishes she could have gone with him, but her days of cutting class are over, according to her father. What kind of tattletale is fucking Bruno? Jesus Christ. Back off,
yeah, they
dude.
Bought you all those. They bought you all that food and all that coffee.
So
pick
rude.
A side.
Absolutely. Anyway, she says she's discussed Dylan with her dad and he is invited to have dinner with them. And she also says her dad knew his dad. Small world. So she's still only gotten a very abridged version of the story. And then Dylan and Tony end up at the table in the restaurant well before Tony Sr., whom Tony Jr. says is generally punctual. Also, her hair is so big in this scene, she's tried to like put down the front of it with barrettes, and then the rest just explodes out. It's like a reverse dandelion.
I think it looks good. It's like this, it's definitely doing this Rosanna Dana.
Mm-hmm.
thing, but she also has that I think we all had a variation on this, like it's like a black blazer with white tipping and then a white t-shirt with black tipping. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like it's very 90s, but I think she looks cute.
She does. This is not to curl shame anybody. I would love to have hair that curly, but it's a lot of hair. It's like so much more hair than you're used to seeing nowadays.
Definitely Felicity season one, where you're like, you need to like razor some of that out.
Yes.
Or it just looks like a mop. Anyway.
Lose some of that volume. Anyway, while they wait.
Ha 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 hair.
Oh no.
Don't do that again. It was creepy.
Yeah. I'm hesitating because I know
this is the way I talk now.
No. While they wait, Tony gives Dylan a sense of how much her dad told her about Jack in clip number two.
I know that despite their differences, he thought a lot of your father.
He told you that?
Yeah, he did.
Did he also tell you that my father was murdered?
No. Dylan, I'm sorry. Why didn't you ever say anything?
Well, it's kind of a conversation stopper.
If only. Also, I love the super aggressive cocktail piano in the background. Yep.
Well, that's how you can tell. It's a very, very classy restaurant. Yes, Dave. Zaffatar.
I'm now an Englishman. Chip, chip, cheerio. Kippers. The Queen.
Dave has been up for about 20 minutes. Does it show? He's a little bit punchy right now.
No. Well done.
Ha, ha, ha.
Twatson.
He's had no coffee. And then a maitre d' shows up to say that Tony Sr. called and said they should start without him. Tony Jr. uncomfortably says this isn't like her dad. And much later, they've been sitting there so long that Tony Jr. is turning down more coffee. And Tony Sr. apparently has never shown up. Maitre d' comes to tell her that her father's on the phone and she excuses herself to go yell at him. And when she leaves the table, guess who rolls up? This is a long one. Clip number three.
The seat taken.
You're late. You didn't really think I'd have dinner with the son of Jack McKay now, did you?
Oh, come on, I thought you two were supposed to be such great friends.
Let's make this as brief as possible. What is it you want, money?
No. No, I want you to give yourself up. Or die. It's your choice.
You know, I thought after my friend Tommy Rose showed you the sights of Palm Springs that you knew what you had coming.
That's when I was afraid of dying an unnatural death. Mm.
Now you're not.
No, I'm not. Because I have a safe deposit box. And in that box is enough information to nail you. So if anything happens to me, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Stay away from my daughter.
Or what?
Or I'll have Ronnie here just aim a little lower and wound you.
He's got a gun under the table. The henchman does.
Gentlemen. Please. I mean, coarse behavior like this, I am shocked. However, my opinion of you is sufficiently low enough that I too came prepared.
Oh, Dylan's also got his gun under the table.
You wouldn't do anything that stupid.
Neither would you. So I'm gonna put my gun away. I'm gonna say goodnight. And then I'm gonna take Tony home.
Actually, Antonia is already on her way home.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. Because we were just getting to the part where I tell her how you killed my father.
Get him out of here.
No problem. Just ask. Politely. And I'll leave. I'll leave. But I won't go away.
Ooh.
I'm never going away. Until you're going away.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
That Ronnie sounds like a true ne'er-do-well.
Please, I'm begging you to stop this. It's so annoying.
No.
Anyway.
All right, that was good.
Dylan is still really bad at this. Really, that was the point of that whole clip, that he would like show up to a restaurant with his girlfriend and a gun and then like pull it under the table. Like, you're both ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. The next day, Dylan opens his front door to Tony, says he didn't know if he'd ever see her again. And she says maybe after today he won't, because her father told her some very upsetting things about him, which we hear in clip number four.
Like you used me. Like you have some sort of vendetta.
I can't lie to you. It started that way. It did. But that was before I saw you.
My father is a good man, and if you knew him...
I know. If he had my father blown to little pieces.
He said that you were going to try to turn me against him.
Tony, ask him. Ask anybody who knew what was going to happen when my dad turned state's evidence against him.
You're wrong. My father could never do anything like that.
I guess there's nothing left to say.
Not that that'll stop you.
I don't understand. Like, this is such a strange conversation to be having. Like, your dad blew up my dad. Let's date. Like, how are either of them keeping a straight face? It's so weird.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And then she brushes past him, but he's like blocking the entire doorway. And it would be sort of effective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if annoying and just cliched blocking, except that once again, her hair is large.
It is.
So then it takes even longer. Like, she manages not to touch him, but then her hair just like rakes him across the entire face and chest. It's yes. It's weird. And then they just use that take. And I guess they cared as little as we do. Like, just get to the part where someone dies, please.
Honestly. Well, that's the end of that storyline, so it's not happening this week. Moving on to our B plot, you can rent Casa Walsh on Bone Away. It's a home away joke, Dave.
And now a word from our sponsor. Computers. Buy more and hook them up to the internet. Don't worry, we are not talking to each other. Computer. Now available.
What? What?
Such an idiot. Oh my God.
Shot through the heart and you're to blame. You give love a bad name.
Brandon is in the middle of bitching to Nat that he's gone over his house budget when Steve calls him over to meet someone named Johnny Mars, a location scout. He's played by the guy that Don Draper hugged in the Mad Men season finale, by the way. And he wants to book the house for $1,200 a day, which seems very high. But anyway, Brandon signs the contract. And later, Steve is supervising while Ray and David deal with the wiring and speaker system. David wants to know if they'll get to meet any movie stars. Long story short, it's porn. Brandon, oblivious, invites Susan to dinner and then to the house to watch filming. She politely declines. He, being Brandon, won't take no for an answer. And finally, she tells him she's embarrassed to tell him what she's already doing that night, which we hear in clip number 5.
You know, I have a sister. If this is a feminine hygiene problem, I can handle it. I may even be able to help you out a little bit.
What does that mean?
God.
I'll put your tampon in for you? Like, what?
Yeah, my dick will be the tampon? What does that mean? And also, I have a sister. Ew.
Gross. Anyway.
Have a tampon on the house.
I hate you, Dave. Moving
on. I really hate you, Dave. Anyway, she's the fourth in a bridge game at her aunt's house. Steve tries to get a job as an extra in this porn movie. The Russian director is impressed by him. Ray and David crack up. And when the director goes upstairs, Ray and David try to get Steve to tell Brandon what's actually happening. But Steve won't, insisting that many of Ivan Trott's movies play in art houses. That's not my joke. It's the show's joke in quotation marks. But when Ray stops the first AD or whatever... under the boom mic, which don't even say it's part of the scene. It's not. It's not attached to anything like the boom guys on
it's
the stairs.
It's not the only one. During a scene in which Tony is in extremely tight close-up talking on the phone, Rex still manages to shove her hair aside and get into the shot.
Oh,
what the
God.
Hell?
Anyway, we find out what this movie is called, Topless Pizza Party 3. So later, Ray is drinking coffee while a female performer moans on off camera. Steve has just run in with his shirt unbuttoned way too much when Brandon comes home still oblivious. And then Ivan comes in to ask if Steve or one of his friends can replace an actor who fell out. Brandon wants a shot at it, which is when Steve finally tells him what is actually going on. Brandon is mad and demands that it stop, but Steve reminds him that he signed a contract and they've already been paid. Brandon is horrified that he almost let Susan come over, but then the production continues. It's very weird. He's sort of like, well, I guess they're shooting a porn in my house. Oh, well. Anyway, then Steve is suiting up with a hilarious fake mustache, which is now Sarah's avatar on slack, so
yes, it is. Meanwhile, he spent most of the episode before changing into his porn actor attire in yet another splendiferous pair of pleated Avenger pantalons.
Oh, of course. Yes. And Brandon is just tickled and not at all upset now. And Steve is handed an actual hot pizza that's not a prop, as if, but he takes a bite of one piece and burns himself. His mustache is already falling off before the scene has even started. And Brandon and Ray are just standing by the bookshelves like they're about to watch their buddy about to have sex on camera, apparently. It's very strange. But anyway, three girls in nonsensical costumes that don't go together with each other start molesting him while he giggles, and then he just ends up dumping the hot pizza all over himself. And Ivan calls cut, and they're about to go in for coverage when Susan shows up. Brandon tries to get her...
Mamma mia.
No, Brandon... Nigel.
Brandon tries to get Susan out of there, but she spins into an eyeful of the naked doctor who's also in this pizza party movie for some reason. And she's grossed out and ends up wandering into the dressing room that's set up in the dining room. And Brandon tries to disclaim responsibility, but she thinks he was trying to get her over there so that she would be thrown into all this. And yells that she doesn't want to be part of this world and storms out. And when Ivan tells Brandon to get her back so they can put her in a nurse's uniform, Brandon finally decides to kick them all out. Steve tries to remind him about the money, but Brandon tears up the check and dares Ivan to sue him, which, bad choice of words, because there actually was a contract. And you know,
yeah, exactly. He someone please sue him, or better yet, tell the mafia what happened and let them kill him.
Yeah. Oh, turn this into Eastern Promises. Brandon shows up at Susan's dorm room. When he won't stop knocking, she lets him in and starts yelling at him in clipsics.
Explain yourself quickly, then go home.
Can I come in?
Not without delousing. Pornography is something I find particularly revolting.
Susan, I was surprised as you were about what was going on. My roommate has the occasional lapse in good judgment.
Well, if it is true that we are known by the company that we keep, then what does it say about you that you are living with some kind of pervert? Not to mention one that is so clueless he cheated on a placement test.
How do you know about that? That's confidential.
Please. The story is legendary among the math faculty. Steve's a bonehead.
No. Steve's actions were bonehead. But 20 years down the road, Steve's still gonna be my best friend. I can't say the same for the next 20 seconds with you.
Wait a minute. You swear you didn't know anything about this?
No. I'm saying I didn't know what it was until I got there tonight. And maybe I should have stopped it sooner, but... I did.
Come in.
Why?
Honestly.
I mean, the part about the pornography, like, whatever. Just take the money, fumigate mm-hmm. the house afterwards.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
She's overreacting to that, but then when he takes that tone with her mm-hmm. while using horrendous grammar that is so bonehead,
mm-hmm.
and then cock walks down the hall like, mm-hmm. you're not missing anything.
No.
Let that shit go.
Ugh. Honestly, but Susan continues to be a problem, unfortunately, in the next scene as she lets Brandon give her a neck massage while being extremely sex negative in clip 7.
I never got what the attraction of pornography was anyway.
Some people think it's erotic.
If you knew how many convicted rapists were regular porn watchers, you may not be such a fan either.
Okay, let me just break in here and say, I know this character who's supposed to be smart is not mixing up correlation and causation, right?
And also, some people think it's erotic. Uh-huh. I just fucking hate this whole storyline. It's so stupid, except that Jamie Walters has never, for whatever reason, been more charming in this role.
He is.
Than he is when, like, it's just him and Brian Austin Green and Ian Ziering just goofing around on the set and teasing each other.
Mm-hmm. It,
whatever. Like, at one point, he actually starts giggling, which I think was at something that was actually happening and not... like Ray laughing
mm-hmm.
and it was very charming. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad that it came to this and he's about to get dumped and go full stalker, spoiler, but yeah.
Anyway, Brandon can't believe he's hearing a censorship argument from a newspaper editor, which is also a good point. But she says she wouldn't ban it. She just wouldn't invite it into her living room either. I don't think that's where most people watch it. But anyway, then Brandon asks what she does find erotic. She says the massage was a good start. She also likes hot baths and candles. You know, romance. Slash basic. They joke about him videotaping it, and then she says she's glad that he stayed and suggests that she could run a bath because I'm sure her dorm room has a bathtub. But anyway, I'm getting off track. They bone. The next morning, Brandon wakes up alone in Susan's bed. She left a note saying she went for a run and asking, was it good for you? Barf, Susan.
Barf.
Brandon gets up and is making the bed once again badly. I just want to harken back to the time he was making up a cot for Dylan and did not know what he was doing with a blanket. And he still has not learned how to make a bed at all in all that time. Anyway, she comes back from her run. She can't believe he passed her test, which was that he made the bed because no one's ever done it before. Seriously, all he did was straighten the duvet and not well, but she's all horny. Moving on to our A plot. But first...
We see the vision. Reside a vision. I feel like I'm going to get this one wrong again and again. Feels like a recursive error. Ha ha, computer joke.
I don't think we heard what the actual word was and all that.
Recidivism. Residivision. Recidivism.
Dave.
Residivism.
Stop.
Just say the fucking word. People paid.
They did. They paid. Dave, I swear to God.
Dave's not here, man.
All right, moving on to our A plot. Demand a refund, whoever bought that word. To our A story, road trip! We open on the girls who are watching Stupid Ray end a set at the Peach Pit after dark. And Val giving him an outro, which is not a thing. But whatever, he's going to cut a record. Donna leaves the table, making Claire tell Kelly there's a wrinkle in their plans for a stress-free weekend away, which turns out to be that Val found out they were going on this road trip, and Claire felt she had no choice but to invite Val along. You're not going to believe this, but Kelly is a bitch about it in clip number 8.
I mean, just because she exists doesn't mean she has to be included.
I know, but Donna wanted her to come too, so I don't know, I just thought it would be okay.
Is that so?
Kel... it won't be that bad, I promise, okay? Besides, do you really want to leave Valerie alone in town with Colin?
I would have taken my chances, thank you.
Too late.
Oh, boy. Kelly.
Yeah. Well, and then Valerie walks up to the table and is like, so this will be fun. And neither of them says anything and just, like, gives her the cobra neck. And I'm just like...
yeah.
I mean... it's bad enough that Valerie wants to be friends with these people, but we, like, make it easier for us to accept.
Yeah. That they're...
have them be a little faker.
Yeah. Because it's really not clear what she gets out of it. Anyway, David comes to see Val as she packs for this trip, and they're both very tentative with each other. But when the topic turns to David's surprise that Val got invited, which, rude, but fair. Also, she admits that she invited herself so that she and Kelly would have a chance to mend some fences. And David finally screws up his courage and thanks her for getting him through his rough times with his mother. She admits that she's been thinking about him, too. And then David kisses her, pretty decent kiss, and tells her to have a good time. And then the girls are in the car, brunettes in the front, blondes in the back, playing a car game too inane to describe, except that Kelly's opinion of the best pretzel is unequivocally wrong in clip 9.
Saltless.
What?
Figures.
Also, what is the point of a saltless pretzel? Honest to God. Just eat a piece of bread. Yeah. Anyway, Claire pulls off the road for a shortcut she says she knows because of her UFO hunting trip with David last season, and they end up talking about their best kiss. Kelly demurs for a while, but when it is declared that the rule for the trip is that there will be no secrets, she admits that hers was Dylan, and unfortunately for us, they go into way too much detail about it in clip 10.
Really? Not Brandon or Colin? Well, Brandon wins for consistency, and Colin wins for intensity, but... nothing will beat that night on the beach with Dylan.
Okay, who's next?
Best kiss, for me, David.
Yeah, me too. David Silver.
What about you, Valerie? Was it Brandon, Dylan, Steve, Colin,
David.
You kissed David?
Just once.
When?
This morning.
Well, stop now. Come on. Let's hear it.
I don't think I want to hear anymore.
Next category?
Favorite cartoon characters?
Hong Kong food.
I kind of like the attempt to change the subject, but again, you're all such fucking bitches. Jesus Christ.
Well, really.
Later, they are apparently lost, which Claire won't admit. The topic turns to the best music to make out to, but it quickly goes further to Donna's chagrin in clip 11.
So, you and Colin do it to Barry, huh?
No, Colin's so retro. He likes to make out to Mozart.
Oh, Jesus.
What about you, Donna? You've been awfully quiet. Well, maybe I just don't like to talk about sex as much as you guys do. You know, it's all we've talked about since we left L.A. You even rated cartoon characters on which one was sexiest.
I still say Woody Woodpecker.
Have you been with him? You've been with everybody else.
Fuck you.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
It's true, Val. This has been quite a year for you. I don't know if you have enough wall space in your bedroom for all the trophy heads, do you?
You know what, you guys? I'm sick of this. You love to talk behind my back. Why don't we just get things out in the open, huh?
I'd be glad to.
You know what, Donna? Come off it. I mean, Claire goes out with David for a few months and you don't say a damn thing. I kiss him one time and you sit in the back seat and sulk for the last half an hour.
Yeah, well, David's not the one I've been thinking about. Come on, once and for all, what really happened between you and Ray?
Okay, let's change subject. Favorite Russian novels? Cal? Manu?
No. No secrets here, Valerie.
All right. I slept with him. Twice.
Oh my God, I think I'm gonna be sick. You really are a slut, aren't you?
Please, don't act so surprised like Claire didn't tell you months ago.
Claire, you knew about this and you didn't tell me?
Well, if you knew something like that about my boyfriend, would you have told me?
No, but you could have told me.
Well, I thought David told you, you know?
David knew about this too? Stop the car, I'm gonna throw up.
Me too, but it's because of your bestie Kelly's shitty attitude towards Valerie when she's fucked literally everyone in the group except her stepbrother, and frankly, I'm not sure she didn't fuck him at some point.
It's all bad. Especially
I will say this in her defense. You could have told me. Totally.
Yes.
Literally the only human thing that she has said in like five episodes.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
But the thing about David keeping the secret from her is definitely the worst. And I don't think that Donna's reaction is out of line. Although, like, I thought the whole thing was that she already knew that shit happened with Val and Ray, and that was why she iced out Val in the finale. After Val saw him push her down the stairs. Anyway. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know.
After a commercial, Donna's done puking, but not done being mad. Kelly and Claire both tell her she doesn't have to talk to Val for the rest of the weekend, and neither of them intends to either. Practical. Which is basically what Val points out, saying she can't very well run alongside the car, which is kind of funny. Donna and Kelly are about to get back into the car when Claire tries to start it, and it won't. And she says she's going to get under the hood. She took auto mechanics in summer school, because of course she does. She did. But when she opens it, a bunch of smoke comes out. She has no memory of what she learned. Like a miracle, a nun pulls up in a very improbable wood-sided vintage car. Sure. The nun brings the girls to her remote convent. Claire was apparently very badly lost, and they are told they can stay the night. In the morning, one of the other nuns will go fix their car. And in the guest quarters, Kelly starts some shit in clip number 12.
Boy, I sure am glad we took that shortcut. Otherwise, we'd be lounging by the hot springs right now.
Oh, big tragedy. Kelly Taylor has to spend the night on Spartan sheets.
I can rough it with the best of them. That's just not how this weekend was billed.
Oh, okay, I'll make sure there isn't a little pee under your mattress, all right?
You know, something about this place. Doesn't it make you want to sing Do Re Mi and dance on the hilltops?
Too bad Ray's in here with his guitar.
You had to mention his name, didn't you?
Well, at least it got you talking to me. Come on, how long are you three saints going to beat this dead horse? Forgive me, for I have sinned, okay?
Yeah, you have.
Well, excuse me, Miss Holier Than Thou. Didn't I hear about a little summer sublet with Dylan when Brenda was across the pond?
You don't know what you're talking about. Oh,
One other thing, friends. Our silent time begins at the bell's final toll.
Silent time?
Oh, yes. From sunset to sunrise. No more talking from anyone.
Good.
See you at dinner.
Is this for real?
It's one way to shut you up.
Shh. Remember, God is listening.
We're still going to have to hear their thoughts. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
And during quiet time, Kelly's cell phone rings. It's Colin. And while he's on the phone, his cougary art dealer, Claudia, comes in. They're going to dinner. And Kelly's eager to get off the phone due to the convent rules, which suits Colin just fine, because this is what happens. Clip 13.
Who is that? An art groupie?
A good friend.
Well, roam all you want, my darling. But just remember, no one's as good to you as me.
Do you remember?
Also,
go ahead. You go first.
His hair, you will see this in the visual aids now and at many points in the future. His hair is particularly tintinastic and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. In this episode, to the point where it really looks like they combed it up against a, like, box or a piece of paper, like shirt cardboard, that they put on his face and then they sprayed it there. I mean, it's really, Jason Wiles is a little derpy, but he's not a bad looking kid. And just the, it really, you could see like the little dew drops of hairspray on the spider web of this Tintin. It's so terrible.
It's dumb.
It's so bad.
Speaking of,
anyway,
what I was going to ask is, do you remember when Janice Dickinson was first on America's Next Top Model as a judge, and she would, like, she sort of came back into the phrase, I guess, as a public figure, and she described her old look before she started getting plastic surgery as, like, that she had, like, big sloppy ethnic lips. That's how she described it. She's like some kind of Slavic, right, or anything. I'm going to say this woman, Claudia, or playing her, got, like, from the first generation of lip implants, because her lips are crazy. They are so distracting. Yeah. Like,
oh my God, they really are. And then they have these, like, inner labia, basically, that are happening, like, over her teeth. It's like,
yep.
Rinna meets the first evil that turns itself inside out in season 7 of Buffy. It's not great. She's not a, you know, she's a fine looking woman, but, like, the sort of 70s black market lip plumping is not working.
No, speaking of not working, later it's silent dinner, but we have to hear everyone's thoughts. Here's a selection in clip 14.
Ah, what a relief to see some different faces around here for a change. And such nice girls.
What are you grinning at, sister?
She can't even look me in the eye.
Check her out, sisters. You're dining with the devil's handmaiden.
They all seem to be such good friends.
Potatoes, please.
I wonder what Miss Shortcut wants now.
Pass the damn potatoes. I mean, darn potatoes.
I hope they go right to your thighs.
You're one to talk.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow, that method of communication sure is annoying. One wonders why they let that go on for so long. Pass the potatoes.
We're supposed to think the nun wonders if any of the girls are virgins. Get a life, sister. Val thinks that she did Donna a favor sleeping with Ray because Donna's too good for him, which is a perspective, I guess.
Sure.
Donna thinks that she always thought there was something going on between her and Ray. Again, yeah, we know you confronted her about it in the season finale and then forgot, apparently, whatever. Later in bed, Kelly actually displays some capacity for honest self-assessment. Don't get used to it. Clip 15.
Who am I to blame Valerie for sleeping around? Let she who has not sinned cast the first stone. I've sinned as much as anybody. I slept with my best friend's boyfriend. I slept with my boyfriend's best friend. I hope at least God can forgive me.
Well,
he can't.
He may, we won't. Val prays for God to let her have friends and to look out for Donna, and Donna is a literal baby in clip 16.
Oh!
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless my family and friends, even Valerie, the witch. Amen.
And all my stuffed animals, and Mrs. Bowman.
Yeah.
And the piano. Oh, God.
Awful.
And then she makes that smug, simpy face, puts her hands in praying position, and lies down on them and goes to sleep.
Ew. So gross. Claire's thoughts are Sartre related because, of course, they are. The next day, the nice nun, Sister Alice, finds Donna in her disrespectful, exposed navel walking the grounds. She tells Sister Alice that she dreamed about taking holy orders. I'll shorthand it. She imagines that her life would be simpler if she were a nun because she wouldn't have boy problems. If Donna has to ask if she had a calling, says Sister Alice, then she probably didn't. And she can still have faith without becoming a nun herself. Forgiveness is a virtue. Moving on. The girls gather around their fixed car. Donna wants to make a peace offering. What's done is done, and they should all put it behind them, meaning everyone's permitted to talk to Val again. Kelly agrees bitchily, because how else? And when Claire and Kelly go to say goodbye to the nuns, Val has some advice for Donna in clip 17.
I don't know what you plan to say to Ray, but before you kiss and make up, make sure he's worth it.
Are you talking about Palm Springs?
Yeah. And I can't forget what I saw Ray do to you. And you shouldn't either.
So Donna ends this scene by doing this, like, very resolute, like, yes, Val is right. Like, this is what convinces you? What the fuck?
Anyway. Also, this is, like, literally what she said the last time. Right after he pushed you downstairs, and you were like, bitch.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
whatever.
Know. I guess the nun intervention.
We're about to descend into the valley of the domestic violence survivor PSAs, so.
Let's just...
All sense is out
Indeed.
The window.
So at the Peach Pit after dark, Claudia scolds Colin for painting the mural instead of getting ready for some big show he has coming up. He assures her that he is ready. She doesn't like that he sold himself too cheap to Val and reminds him that artists should never negotiate their own deals. And this is when Kelly wanders in, adding that they should never negotiate with old friends, and introduces herself to Claudia because Colin clearly doesn't want to. And he's like, I don't think you were coming back until tomorrow, because that's not suspicious. Claudia's on her way out, but not before putting her stink on Colin by saying that she'll see him at dinner. And then at her apartment, Donna lays into Ray in our final clip.
It's true, isn't it, Ray? Isn't it?
Okay. Okay, it's true. I slept with her once and never again, and I knew it was a mistake.
You are such a liar. Valerie told me all the details. It was twice.
That bitch.
Yeah, well, that bitch is my friend, and it's over.
Don't do this, Donna, please. I'm begging you. Do not do this.
Or what? What are you gonna do? What, are you gonna throw me up against the wall like in Portland? Are you going to push me down the stairs like in Palm Springs? Or do you only hit me when we're out of town?
I love you, Donna. Please, you got to believe me. Please. Forgive me.
You know, I have a lot of forgiveness in my heart. I can even forgive Valerie. But not you. Not for this!
You're gonna regret this.
What I regret is I didn't do this a long time ago.
Oh, well, better late than never, I guess.
Whatever
it takes. I mean, this seems like a stupid reason for her to finally come around to, you know, her own happiness, but whatever, she got there, and I guess that's what counts.
Especially since mostly she was pissed because Valerie made out with David.
Yeah.
Like, that's what bugged her for half an hour. And then this, she's like, well, whatever, who cares?
Who indeed? So let's let's close it up by naming our most valuable player. You're not playing. I fucking hate you. You're the fucking worst. You're the worst.
I don't understand this sound cue, and I won't respond to it.
All right. I'm going to say most valuable player, Sister Agnes, who knew how to fix the car.
I considered going with Sister Agnes, but I do feel like since it was still full daylight, she could have just gone out, fixed the car right then and spared us this foolishness. So instead, I'm going to go with Steve, I guess, because he's living his best life and is hilarious and gets a like funny grin out of Ray. And yeah, there's not a lot to choose from in this episode.
I can go with that. All right. Least valuable player.
Wah, wah, ooh, wah, wah.
Kelly, the fucking bitch.
Dave. Cole.
Yeah, that's also, alas, fair. Now on to the Moo Moo Parker challenge.
Eo, eo, boop, boop.
Five ways from this episode.
I don't even know which one this is.
Brandon, five ways from Dylan, this episode, Brandon might have ended
five
up
five ways
dead.
Tara is going to murder Dave, and this is the very last again with this podcast.
It is. 6-6. Just missing 1-6. All right, five ways from this episode, Brandon might have ended up dead. Choked on Steve's fake mustache while getting a ride on it.
Oh, God. Burned to death by hot pizza.
Knocked over by the force of Susan slamming her dorm room in his face, which she should have done.
Seriously. Strain resistant gonorrhea.
Now and forever, drowned in his pants. And that makes five.
Woo!
I must return to my home planet now. Goodbye.
Finally.
Guys, I'm back.
Christ.
What'd I miss?
Your death. Next time on Again With This, Romeo and Juliet defy Marchette Sr., and Woodward and Bernstein kill themselves just so they could twirl in their graves like propellers while Brandon and Susan quote-unquote investigate Belle's sexual harassment case. You'll be citing us for retinal harassment when you get a load of our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I'm Saltless Pretzel, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with my co-host, Miss Sophisticated Tar Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tar Ariano. There's also some other guy, but we're not going to pay any attention to him because he abandoned us in the middle of the podcast. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.